Welcome, everyone, to Success in Action. I'm your host, Jim Barger. And as an action business coach here in Omaha, I have the honor to meet local business owners who have fascinating stories to tell. But too often, we don't realize what a rich business environment we live in. Did you know that there are five Fortune 500 companies in Omaha? Only 22 cities in the U.S. have five or more, and all are much larger in population than Omaha. But the real story is the diversity of smaller companies who have significant market positions and impact. These are businesses that have been successful, and they can teach us and inspire us to work a little harder and a little smarter. So each Saturday from 10 to 10:30, we'll meet two successful business owners from our area, and they'll share with us some of their success secrets and their learnings, and that'll give us an opportunity to build our own businesses. And then I'll be sharing a success tip that you can apply to your business as well. So join me as we explore success in action. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Mark Kruger of CF Web Tools, a high-tech business leader with international reach. But first, I'd like to introduce you to my friend Matt Kaiser, owner of KM Landscaping. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to have you here.
Good.
Hey, Matt, you know, I think your story is a real inspiration. We've known each other for over a year now. I'd like to have you share with us how you kind of got started, and then how did you grow? How did your business develop?
Well, I started my company 15 years ago. My company I started out of mostly necessity, but also out of a love of what I do. I started in 1997, 18 years old, and beat up Chevy pickup and dad's tools, and had an opportunity to do a house 15 years ago for a builder that I still work with. And from there, I got a degree in landscape design from the University of Nebraska. And as far as growing goes, growth comes in many different fashions, but I'd have to say probably one of the most influential opportunities I've had is to put good people around me. Putting good people around me, if you have the wrong people around you, you won't grow, or it won't stimulate growth. And that's one of the key things. Also, I'd have to say our values, which really help us to grow. Honesty, professionalism, hard work, loyalty. Those are completely what's helped us to grow.
You've got about how many employees at peak of your?
At peak employment, we'll run between 18 and 20 employees.
All right.
And all great people. Again, we interview them. We're looking for values. That's something I just cannot teach. It's something your parents probably should have taught you. But not everyone has it, and so we're really picky with our employees, and we get compliments all the time on that.
Great. Yeah, because I know you really put a lot of time into training your employees. Is that right?
Correct. We have our training system is a week long. We have training on video. We have it in literature. We test our employees on our policies and our procedures, and so it's pretty in depth. They're an extension of me and my company, and they need to perform in that fashion.
Right. And I know that most of your clients and customers are repeat customers, or they're referrals from your existing customers.
Right. A good portion of them are referral customers. I'd have to say probably 30% of our new business comes from referrals, 30 to 40% actually. And it's really great. I mean, there's no better compliment than somebody referring you to you.
So. Sure. So that time training your people and developing them pays off, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely key. Over the years, we've continually learned that, and goes back to growth. You know, I mean, we've had to learn that we need to sustain our company by having the right people in the right place, and that's what we really work towards today.
Now you mentioned values. How does that impact in a business? I mean, we sometimes think of business as being kind of cold and heartless, but how do your values make a difference for you?
Well, real easy is, you know, my values come first before anything else, before money, before profit, before anything. What's really important to us is that we build relationships, and without my values, or without honesty, loyalty, professionalism, and hard work, you really have nothing. You know, it's you're mostly a soulless company. You're, you know, a soulless person. And I really believe that, you know, believing in those and living by those every day really, really creates success. I mean, all of our customers, you know, will never have to doubt our values and whether or not we're doing the right thing for them, as they come first before anything. And it's easy to fall back on. So
this, you know, this has been a hard time economy-wise for the construction industry and some of the service industries, but your business has shown some pretty dramatic growth, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I was able to see, you know, years ago, being pretty closely related to the new construction industry, that things were going, you know, pretty, you know, going south. And most of our referrals and a lot of our new business was coming from existing homes. And what people have decided in the Omaha market is to maybe invest more into their existing home rather than going out and build a new home. There's a lot of benefits to that as far as the landscaping end. Most of it isn't, you don't need permits to do majority of what we do. And so you can really increase the value of your home without really increasing your tax expense, which has been a pretty big burden in the Omaha area on homeowners and new construction industry.
Yeah, absolutely. The what types of things do you do that you get involved with on
the
landscaping?
Well, we do a wide variety of things. We do things such as patios and retaining walls, sitting walls, fire, water features, iron art. You know, we'll lay sod, grade. We deal a lot with water problems. Everybody in the Omaha area seems to have a water problem. We do a lot. We do softscapes. A tremendous amount of our business is, you know, landscaping, plants, shrubs, things of that nature. It's pretty wide varied. I'd say in today's market, probably 50% of what we do is, you know, an outdoor environment, outdoor entertaining space, and the other 50% is probably, you know, the landscaping around the home, planting trees where they need to go to create value, and screening and shading and so forth. Recently, just as of a Wednesday, this Jim probably don't know about this yet, but Wednesday we went to an annual Watkins seminar. And they have an annual contest for it's called the Ultimate Backyard Challenge, and there were 16 contractors in it this year, and we got first place.
Well, congratulations, yeah, Matt. That's exciting.
That's very exciting.
Fantastic.
It's just another testament to my company and to all the hard work that we do, and had some really stiff competition, and we're really excited about that, it's really going to be a real nice showcase for those homeowners, and they were great people. Again, they were referrals, and so if Tom and Laura are listening, hi. It was a really, really exciting for us, and it's still sinking in because it's something I've been working hard at for quite a few years now, and so it's nice.
Are pictures available on your website, maybe, to see?
Actually,
that?
The pictures are not yet available on the website, but you can look at some local advertising that we do here in the Omaha market. You'll find them in there. But also you can go to kmlandscaping.com to see other projects, but the current project is not on there, but it's also on KM Landscaping's Facebook page.
All right. Well, great. So if people want to take a look at how they might enhance their housing and their home space, best place to get a hold of you is through the website?
Yeah, through the website. It's kmlandscaping.com, or you can always call us. Our office number is 402-625-2500. We're located out on the west side of town, out near UTAN, and that's where our offices and our production facilities are at. The majority of our business, though, is done at your home. We come to your home. We furnish you with the complete and colored designs, nothing on scratch paper, very complete and organized, with also a very detailed and accurate estimates.
And free estimates.
Estimates. And, you know, one promise I've always made is, you know, unless you change something, this estimate will not increase. It'll be exactly what I tell you is, or less. I always credit people for any overages we have. And you know, it's just, I think, a really nice feature to know, you know, in the construction world, which we're in, you know, it's so often, that's probably one of the biggest complaints I hear from homeowners is that, you know, I had this guy, you know, do this concrete and he says it's going to be this and then end up being this. You know, I just want to make sure you're not. Well, it's definitely not anything you'll have to worry about with us.
Right. And you know, having worked with you now for well over a year, I can attest to your integrity and your focus on the customer satisfaction. You've told me a few stories about how you've, you know, gone out of your way to make sure that your customers are happy with what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely the most important thing that you can do. I mean, again, it just all relays back to my values, honesty, loyalty, professionalism, hard work. I just rely on those. You know, I rely on that. I rely on God, and it just doesn't steer me wrong.
Right. And you recently added a couple of new employees, so
yeah, we did. We added some new key office personnel. We have a draftsman now to help me get plans out a little quicker. He's also an expert in plants and exterior plants as well as interior plants. And his name is Brandon. And if you call our office, you can certainly speak to him. But he can certainly help you with your interior and exterior plants, problem solving, and maybe finding the right selection for you. Even if you're going to a local nursery to buy them, you could still call him, and he's very helpful. And then we also hired on a full-time office manager as well. And we really she's keeping us organized and really taking care of a lot of just the office activities. You know, it's been really nice to have Heather around. She does fantastic on the phone, and if you give her a call, she'll certainly help you out. But real quick, I just want to get back to the Omaha economy. I know I don't have much time, but you asked me how the Omaha economy has suffered or prospered or suffered during those past couple of years, and I really got to say, I mean, it's been strong. We've had excellent years of growth over the last 3 years. Again, a testament to our values. But you know, Omaha, it's a special place. Our markets relied around food for the most part and transportation. And those are kind of key issues that everybody kind of has to have. You know, we have the blessings of not having to build vehicles. You know, something our goods are necessary, not durable.
Right, you know? There you go. Yeah.
And so that's I'm just really proud and very happy to live in such a great area.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate your coming in today. You know, the fact that you've been successful, you've added people in this economy. There's people looking for work, and the fact that you've added jobs on is a great testament to your commitment and your success that you've done. And just like to thank you very much for being with us today.
Absolutely, Jim. I thank you again for the opportunity, and please go to kmlandscaping.com.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
After the break, I'll share a success tip for your business, and then we'll meet Mark Kruger of CF Web Tools. So don't go away. You know, if you're a business owner or you know a business owner, I'd like to let you know that I'll be presenting a free seminar next week titled The 6 Keys to a Winning Team. We'll be meeting at the Garden Cafe in Rockbrook on Wednesday, March 21st from 3 to 5 p.m. There's no charge and there's no pitch. The seminar is sponsored by Omaha State Bank, so take time to work on your business and join us. Learn more at actionevents.info. Hi, this is Jim Barger, host of Success in Action on KCRO. This is my success tip for the week. I often tell the story of a study where a job ad was placed with a $50,000 salary offered, and there were many applicants. The study then re-ran the ad with the exact same requirements and duties, but this time with a salary of $250,000 offered. No applications were received. What does that tell us about ourselves? Clearly, we judge ourselves as to our own value. People didn't give the advertisers the opportunity to decide if they were worth the larger amount. They decided in their own mind that they weren't worth it, and they kept themselves from being in a position to prosper. We do this all the time. The salesman who won't call on certain prospects because they're too tough, or higher class, or they love their current supplier, or an employee who doesn't apply for a higher position because they think they lack skills or education or enough hair or something, or the business owner who doesn't set a budget because he doesn't think that he can impact how customers behave. This is self-sabotage. We hobble ourselves and keep ourselves within the walls of our own self-doubts. Some people are poor because they think that's where they belong, and some people are rich because they see themselves as a rich person, even when they failed. Donald Trump has been bankrupt, but he doesn't let that stop him from becoming rich again. So how do you sabotage yourself? Your mental image of yourself or your business can do huge harm or tremendous good. You owe it to yourself to dig into this. If you'd like to discuss this or any business topic, send me an email at jim@successinactionradio.com. I offer a personal one-hour business consultation to business owners here in the Omaha-Lincoln area. Let's meet. That email address again is jim@successinactionradio.com. All right, welcome back. I'm Jim Barger, your host of Success in Action here on KCRO. We're meeting local business owners and learning their stories of success and growth. I'm joined now by Mark Kruger, who's the founder and owner of CF Web Tools. Mark's company has grown exponentially in the past few years, but he's managed to avoid many of the pitfalls of fast growth. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great. It's good to have you here. You know, Mark, you've got a fascinating story, I think, and I'd like to just have you share a bit about how you got started and maybe how that growth has taken place.
Well, I started in IT. My company is actually an IT consulting company. We build custom software. And I actually started in IT working for a company back in 1997 and didn't really know that I was ever going to own a business. My company started in a way a lot like I think a lot of companies do. I was energized by what I was doing. I had a real fire for it. And as I grew as a technologist, I found I had an aptitude for a particular platform technology called Cold Fusion.
And that's what the CF stands for.
Yeah, that's what the CF and CF Web Tools stands for, Cold Fusion. It's a Java-based technology.
Right.
And as I got better and better at that, I just, you know, I became convinced that, hey, I can do this really well, and I became confident in my expertise. I started a local user group, still running today. It's called the Nebraska Cold Fusion User Group, and it's guys that do Cold Fusion. We all get together once a month and talk about the technology. As I became better and better at it, I began to have opportunities outside of my job to contract or to do outside jobs for folks who needed my particular expertise. And, it occurred to me at some point that I could do better financially, you know, if I was out on my own, that I could work in for the company that I was working for. So, in August of 2000, we created a little LLC, my wife and I, and I began doing it on my own. And at that point, I didn't really know where it would lead, but I knew that I really wanted the freedom of owning my own business and the financial freedom and so on. And I think that's why a lot of folks start their business. But I also knew that this would enable me to put all my energy into this technology that I really loved. And that's kind of what began my business, was that expertise, that technology expertise.
That's what we love about owning our own business, isn't it?
We
get to do what we love and do it all the time. Now, you've 12 years, you've grown very fast, and now you're a multi-million dollar company.
Yes. A lot of that growth has been in the last few years, but yes, that's absolutely true.
Sure.
And we're real proud of what we've managed to accomplish, but there's been lots of ups and downs along the way, and I'm sure every business owner has the same kind of story.
Absolutely. Well, good. Well, you know, we'd like to find out a couple of things that helped you make that growth. You know, maybe share with us one thing that has caused or been able to make that possible for you.
Yeah, so one of the very first hurdles that I found was that as I began building a business rather than just sort of a small consulting practice, starting out, I hired somebody and then I hired another guy, and my model was really to extend myself. You know, I was the do-it-all guy. You know, I was the guy in the back room with a hacksaw and a screwdriver putting a server together and, you know, fixing somebody's drive. And that was me. I loved doing that stuff. And so the kinds of people that I hired were the same kind of fireman type guys. You know, they're troubleshooters. They were good at that. And they could get in there and do things. And what I had in mind was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of me all of this stuff. Well, it became apparent after the first four hires, and of course I hired my friends, the guys that I that I knew. After the first four or five hires, it became apparent that that wasn't going to work. I needed a disparate set of skill sets. I needed to figure out how to get them to collaborate, and I needed to figure out how to organize my company in a way that allowed each one of them to shine in their own skill set, but where the aggregate of all of our developers were going to have a benefit for our customers, because not every customer needs a fireman, you know.
Right. So you really had to kind of start designing your team to meet what you needed to do.
Right, that's exactly right. And we had to start thinking about things that we hadn't thought of before. when you've got four guys and you've got X number of customers, you basically say, you know, Joe, you get this customer, Jason, you get that one, and I'll take this one. But when you get, 10 customers, suddenly you've got to put a team together. And that's a different dynamic altogether. So our first hurdle was how do we restructure how we develop, how we do development to match the needs of the customer and how this was supposed to work for them.
Right.
You know.
So. And you're up to like 32 employees now in the company.
We have 32. That's right. We have 27 developers, I believe, at this point.
Right.
And those developers are both here in Omaha and across the United States. We have a remote development team.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that's got, I'm sure, some challenges as well in just keeping everybody up to speed.
Yeah, you know, one of the things developers are they have a reputation, you know, if you work with IT people, you might buy into some of the things you see on TV or whatever, and you might think that they're sort of, antisocial and, in somebody's basement or something like that, you know. But the truth of it is they're very gregarious, very community-minded people. They just have a different kind of worldview,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And so there's a culture there that we wanted to buy into. We wanted to make them comfortable. And that's much more of a challenge when you're doing remote development
right.
than it is when you have everybody in the same, you know, bullpen or the same work area where they're at the water cooler and rubbing shoulders. And so we had to, of course, we're software people, so we look for technology solutions. So we turned to things like social networking and Skype and social media and our own custom-built systems to bring people together in a way that during the day they all feel like they're in the same room, rubbing shoulders with each other in a virtual way, and they have access to each other and to each other's brains and even some social, you know, interaction as well. And that's one of the things I think we do really well, and it makes our team much happier than it would be otherwise.
And if you have a team like that that's you know, interacting with people all over the world, what are some of the other ways that you've kind of held them together and make sure that they're working on the right things and going in the right direction?
Well, you know, talk about working on the right things. That was another hurdle. If you're going to put a remote team together, one of the first things that your managers are all going to say and your project managers are all going to say is, well, how do we define productivity then?
Hmm.
We can't look over their shoulders. We don't know exactly, you know, what they're up to. They're in their own office. They're in their own world. So, again, and this would be about 3 or 4 years ago, but we kind of turned to an automated solution again. First step would be to define some metrics. You know, what is it that we're looking for? And in our business, much like, let's say, a law firm or whatever, hours are money, right? So we defined X number of billable hours every week as a goal for each developer, and then we added to that common goals of projects and tasks, which are staying within an estimate, let's say, and meeting deadlines, and we came up with a scale, and then we divided, we came up with a compensation plan that gave them a base salary but put part of their compensation based on meeting these defined metrics.
Uh-huh.
And so that gave them some stake in the productivity of the company, and it made it possible for them to earn more than their expected salary by simply, putting in more effort if they desired to do so.
So really, I think maybe the word I would use for that is systems. You developed and designed systems to help take some of the requirement of personal involvement.
Yeah.
The things just happen the way they're supposed to happen because people know the processes.
When you build a company that's made up of engineers, you tend to turn toward systematic solutions. You know,
right.
You start thinking in terms of process and flow and where can we eliminate steps and those kinds of things. So that tends to be our modus operandi is to look for a solution that codifies our system in a way that, you know, that makes sense for us or our customer or whatever.
Great. Okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So what are the type of businesses that would normally use your product or who are you looking for that
take
advantage of what you've developed?
So a business that would need us, you know, we basically have two or three different kind of legs of business. One would be a business that has an existing app. We work with a lot of what I would call emerging businesses that they have a great idea. They create it online. Maybe they use a contractor or a small group of designers, and they create a great product online, and it's going gangbusters, and they're signing up people, but all of a sudden their existing team can't meet their needs because they need a higher skill set, or perhaps their application isn't scaling. We use that word scaling. It means it doesn't perform very well when you add a lot of people to it, you know, that kind of thing. And so they need somebody to come in and kind of refactor or rework their code and make it work more efficiently, or They need somebody that can come in and maybe give them high-level consulting advice in terms of what their app should look like going forward. Or maybe they just need a lot more hours, a lot more people to work on it, and their existing, you know, contractor can't meet that demand. So we get involved, and a lot of people have the conception that software is built and then launched. Custom software in business isn't really like that. It's more the case where you bring it up to version one and then you launch version one and people are using it. Meanwhile, you're working on version 1A and version 1B and version 2, and you just it's a continual process. So there's that maintenance and reoccurring kind of cycle that goes with it. And so these emerging businesses, as they grow, we grow right along with them. We add additional resources and hours. So that's one kind of customer. Another kind would be the kind of customer that is looking for a project. They have a grand idea, you know, the next big thing on the internet.
Right.
You know, and so they're coming to us and saying, hey, can you build this for us? And we put together a team. Our group has project management. We have infrastructure, SDLC type infrastructure, and things that we can add to the table that they would have to get themselves.
Sure.
You know, if they had to go out and do it themselves. So that's our pitch, and we do several of those kinds of projects every year and help startup businesses and so on. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. Well, excellent. So what's kind of in the future for CF WebTools?
Well, we've seen, like you said earlier, we've seen tremendous growth. One of our expressed desires is to grow our software as a hosting software as a service environment. We have a lot of customers who host applications with us, their applications that they're providing services to others. So we want to continue to develop and grow that. And then we want to, at some point, figure out how do we diversify away from just ColdFusion.
You know,
the reason that we use ColdFusion is because I use ColdFusion, you know. And everybody I hired at first used ColdFusion, and still about 80% of our business comes from ColdFusion. But we're seeing a lot of inroads in the mobile market, iPad, iOS development, Android, and so on. And so that is definitely a growth spot for us that we're charging full steam ahead into. We're releasing a streaming quotes app that really is not ColdFusion. It's something completely different, you know,
okay.
That kind of thing. And to diversify our model, which is a powerful model that works, to another technology and build another technology group around a different core product, maybe.
Right.
You know, something like that. So
okay.
We're exploring those opportunities. We've talked to people with a lot of business expertise, you know, and mm-hmm. talked about things like franchising and all kinds of different ideas. We're not sure exactly where we want to go, but we know that's a definite goal for us, is to diversify the technology side of the picture.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, excellent. You know, I was very impressed when we first met with the organization that you've developed and your focus on your people, the development of your team, and just your implementation of systems is, I think, just fascinating. And I really appreciate you joining us today on Success in Action.
Yes, thank you.
Good luck in all the future growth that you're doing, and I thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Well, it looks like we've run out of time. As I mentioned earlier, if you're a business owner or you know a business owner, I'd like to let you know that I'll be presenting a free seminar next week titled 6 Keys to a Winning Team. We'll be meeting at the Garden Cafe in Rockbrook on Wednesday, March 21st from 3 to 5 p.m. There's no charge, no pitch. The seminar is sponsored by Omaha State Bank. Take time to work on your business and join us. You can learn more at actionevents.info. Thank you all for listening today. Join us next week for Success in Action right here on Omaha's Christian Teach and Talk Station, AM 660, KCRO.